Welcome to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. Today we've got an amazing message of hope and healing just for you. God's word never returns to him void, so let this message sink deep into your heart so that you can walk out your complete healing journey today.
Hey, good morning, everyone. This is Mike Hesch with Healing Journeys Today. You know, I don't know any of you specifically, and maybe I do have met some of you, I'm sure. But you know, I do pray that God would connect us today through his word, through his truth. And that's where we can have fellowship, even though we're miles and miles and miles apart. Our fellowship is in the truth. And the truth is spirit, it's life. So when we're connecting through the truth, we're really connecting spiritually. So I just want you to embrace these truths that the Lord's put on my heart today. And I think they'll be a blessing to you. You know, I entitled this, I think I remember, I called Fear, Righteousness, and Healing. What is the connection between those? And I wanted to start with a scripture that you're probably all familiar with. In fact, this scripture, when I read this, really was a turning point in my healing journey, my personal healing journey, because I was constantly focused on the physical part of me, trying to get that physical symptoms to go away, to subside. And I was missing where the oppression was truly coming from. And, you know, in past live streams, I've talked about the root of sickness and disease. And this is a scripture that really was instrumental in, even though I knew it, I communicated it to others, I expressed it to so many people and taught it. It really didn't click for me until I got to the place where the symptoms weren't moving. And I thought to myself, wow, there's something behind these symptoms. It's not just the physical. And so in Acts chapter 10, let's go there. I want to read it, even though I really know it in my mind and heart. I just want to share it with you. I'm going to read it to you. It says here in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So all sickness is oppression of the devil, or we could say it this way: every person that Jesus healed, he delivered them from oppression of the devil. So if you have sickness or disease in your life, it's some form it's a manifestation of oppression of the devil. Now, you can call it whatever you want. You can argue with me if you'd like, but it's to no avail, because the word says that every person that Jesus healed, he delivered them from oppression of the devil. Now, he didn't always address it in the sense like, you know, you might cast out a devil, or he never spoke to a specific disease like we do today, cancer, die in the name of Jesus. We don't see him doing that to other people, but we see him addressing the root of sickness that was oppressing the people in a manifestation of some physical form, some physical limitation. And when he addressed that, the person was free, and they also manifested the wholeness outwardly. And that's an important point to just lay hold on and grab a hold of. Now, I wanted to read that first because oppression is involved whenever there's fear, okay? Whenever there is fear in your life, there is oppression. And we've talked about this many times, and you're probably aware of it, but the enemy is seeking an access to our life in any way that he can. And one of his major weapons is fear. He uses the thoughts, circumstances, situations we encounter in our daily life to bring a fear into our mind. And if we embrace that fear, with that fear comes an opportunity for the enemy to oppress us. I want to read a definition. I wrote it down earlier to you. Oppress. The word oppress means to cause one to feel distressed, anxious, or uncomfortable. Well, you can use that description to describe a mental illness, a physical disease. You can use it to describe, your finances, or some past failure in your life. What is it doing? It's causing you to feel distressed, anxious, or uncomfortable. Now, that's the MO of the devil. So if you're having any of these feelings where you're feeling distressed, anxious, or uncomfortable, know this, it's from the devil. And it's called oppression in the Bible. Also, another definition of oppress means to keep someone or some, we'll just use us today, okay? So it says to keep someone in bondage and hardship by unjust exercise of authority or power. That means to oppress. Like, you know, we talk about an oppressive government, how they oppress the people. They don't allow them freedom to choose or make decisions. And so we talk about that, and we call it a tyranny, a despot or a dictatorship we describe as being oppressive. Well, that's the enemy's goal. He uses thoughts that he conveys to us to gain our cooperation. And if we choose to receive those thoughts, then we're yielding to his unjust exercise of power and authority over us. Wow. Think about that. What makes it unjust? This is what makes it unjust. Because you have been delivered from the authority of the devil. You know, Jesus put it this way in Luke chapter 10, verse 19. He said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, where nothing shall by any means hurt you or cause you an injustice." So even though the enemy is exercising authority or power over us, we have authority over that power. Now, Jesus shared that, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Jesus got that word, that revelation, from a scripture that his father shared with him in the Old Testament. And to him, that was the only testament. But today, we divide them up. I think it's unfortunate that we do, but we divide them into Old Testament and New Testament. And old in our culture has a connotation of not any good anymore. It's, you know, the old ways or the old school. There's something new and better. And although what Christ provided for us is better, to put away the old is to say it has no value. But folks, it has value. Do you realize that all the writers of the New Testament quoted and drew from a revelation they received from the Old Testament? Yes, indeed. And they shared it in light of the finished work of Christ. So to put that away would be you could say that's another opportunity that the enemy would use in our life to oppress us, to say, oh, that's in the Old Testament, that's in the Old Covenant. And although it may have been expressed specifically to a people that is, Israelites or them, it is a truth. And if it's a truth from God, it has application to every single person, because truth never goes void. Truth is never old. Truth is never past tense. Truth is never something that is going to pass away, because our Father is truth. Jesus put it this way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he went on down to tell Philip, he said, "I and my Father are one." And in John 17, he explained that even more by telling us that, hey, as I was one with the Father through the Spirit, so you are one with God through the Spirit because you've accepted me as your Savior. And so let's keep that in mind as we move on. Hey, turn with me to Isaiah 54. Wow, I got so much I want to say, and I feel like I did never have enough time. But you know what? The Spirit has plenty of time for us to fellowship together today. So I'm going to start in a verse in Isaiah 54, verse 14. I think most of us are familiar with verse 17, but I think it's important to understand the connection between oppression, fear, healing, and the role that we play in that keep that oppression out of our lives. So we've already talked about how oppression manifests itself in sickness, in disease, in anxiety, in distress of any kind. But how does it get there to start with, and what do we use to remove it from our life? Listen to what it says here. In Isaiah 54, verse 14, it makes this statement. It says, "In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee." He goes on to say, "Behold, they shall surely gather together," who? Fear, oppression, terror. "That they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake." You know what our Father's telling us? He's saying, look, you know, fear, terror, oppression. He said, those things are in the world, and they are going to gather together against you. But he said, I'm not the one bringing them into your life. He said, in fact, when they do gather together against you, I'm your strength to stand against them. I'm the one who's going to cause you to triumph over them. Isn't that powerful? But the key I want to bring out here is the word righteousness. You know, it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that Jesus was made sin for you and me. He actually became sin for us. In other words, he took our sin that we should have been judged for. He took that upon himself in our place, not just as a martyr, but in our place as our substitute. Okay? And God judged our sin in the person of Jesus Christ. So you can put your name in there anyway, all of us can put our name in there that Jesus took my place. So Jesus died and was judged for Mike's sins. And when he was judged for my sins and he was resurrected, it proved that I was free from the guilt and the judgment or the condemnation of that sin. And no longer could that sin, past, present, or future even, be used against me, you could say, as a judgment or in the court of the Most High God. In other words, that there would be no legal right for me to be oppressed because of that sin, or to be judged or separated from God anymore, because Jesus was made that sin for me. He was judged for that sin. And when he rose up, he was delivered from that judgment. So we were judged, released from that judgment. And it goes on in that verse, it says, "He who knew no sin hath God made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus." That's a powerful statement. So we have been placed in Christ, and we have God's righteousness through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So not only is there no place for condemnation or judgment against us, but it's been replaced, the judgment that was due us has been replaced with righteousness, okay? And righteousness is just simply a It can be one of two things, and it's really a combination of them both. Righteousness or righteous could be our standing. In other words, that is our status with God through Christ Jesus. We are righteous. You could say that we have been justified. In other words, we've been made right with God. There's no penalty or judgment or anything against us, as I said. And there's also a part of righteousness, which is our character, or you could say how we live. And you can live righteously or you can live unrighteously. You can cooperate with unrighteous thoughts or you can cooperate with righteous thoughts. And that's the part that this is talking about here. It says in verse 14 again, it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Okay? Established means that's going to be our foundation. Now, that's not something we have to get anymore. It's something that's been reckoned unto us or accounted unto us because of our belief. You know, it says in... Well, it's mentioned many places, but I'm thinking of in Genesis 15, where it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And even in the New Testament, that's exactly what's happened to us. When we believe on Jesus, that belief in him is counted for righteousness. Okay? In other words, because that belief places us in Christ. And now his righteousness is our righteousness. We still have the ability to walk in unrighteousness. God has not removed our choice or taken away our free will, okay? And that's beautiful. That's an example of his unconditional love. In other words, if he demanded that we be a certain way, then his love would not be unconditional. But his love is unconditional in that he says, I'm going to allow you to choose to walk in the victory that I've prepared for you in Christ. And I would prefer if you do that, that's going to bring everything that I've provided for you in Jesus is released through your fellowship with the righteousness, the joy, the spirit, all of that is released in our life through cooperating with his spirit. In other words, Paul put it this way, if you walk in the spirit, you won't be fulfilling the flesh. In other words, and to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Isn't that awesome? Life and peace. Okay, it says here, in righteousness thou shalt be established, thou shalt be far from oppression. So when we accept the righteousness that we are in Christ Jesus, and we choose that above all other things. And what I mean by that is we have thoughts constantly bombarding us throughout the day. And when we choose righteousness over thoughts of fear, oppression, distress, challenges, when we choose righteousness in all of those situations, then that's going to separate us from the oppression that is trying to have place in us through those thoughts. Are y'all tracking with me? Can I get a amen? Awesome. Yes. Yes and amen. Listen to this connection that God makes in his word between righteousness and walking in righteousness. I'm in Isaiah 26, 2. You might hold your place in Isaiah 54 because I'm going right back there. In chapter 26, it says, Isaiah 26, I'll just start in verse 2. It says, open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth truth may enter in. Okay? So when we're keeping righteousness, now again, it's not a work because it's not our righteousness. It's keeping the righteousness of Jesus that he's already accomplished for us. So you could say it's walking in his righteousness where we experience the truth that this is talking about. It says, thou wilt keep him, that's our Father, Jehovah, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Wow. So he's saying, look, when we're walking in righteousness, it says that we're going to be kept in perfect peace because this is the connection between righteousness and belief, is that we're trusting in what God has provided for us in every circumstance, and our mind will remain at peace. In other words, when those thoughts come in, like we read earlier, distress or create anxiousness or uncomfortableness with us, it starts in the mind. And it says that we'll be kept in perfect peace when our mind is stayed or supported by what? The truth. Because what am I trusting in really? The way I know God is through the truth. You can't have a relationship with God through the Spirit apart from truth, because the truth is the Word. And Jesus said the words that he spoke unto us were spirit and life. And Jesus also told us that when we worship God or have fellowship with God through our relationship with him, that we worship him in spirit and in truth. So there's a connection there that can't be separated: righteousness, truth, peace, trust, belief. They're all woven together in a beautiful, pure fabric that is, as it says in Ephesians 6, it says that we should put on the breastplate of righteousness and have our loins girt about with truth. Isn't that powerful? See, so that righteousness that we choose to put on, that we choose to walk in, is going to keep us from oppression. And why will it keep us from oppression? Go back to 54, which I took my finger out of there, and Isaiah 54. Listen to this. This is awesome. I mean, I get so blessed when I think about what our Father has done for us. Isn't that awesome? Listen to what it says. It says, in righteousness thou shalt be established, thou shalt be far from oppression. Why? For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it won't come near thee. So the key to walking free from fear, which I encourage you to go back to the two previous live streams that we talked about, fear and being free, finding the freedom that God has prepared for us in Christ, finding that freedom from fear. Here's the key. I mentioned it in that, but I felt like I should go deeper into this for us. It says, for thou shalt not fear. Now it says, in righteousness will be established and oppression will be far from us. You could even say why, and then it answers the question, for we will not fear. How is oppression trying to gain access to us? It's opposing our status of righteousness. In other words, fear is competing, or trying to rather compete with this idea, this truth that has been expressed to us in the Word, that we are righteous. So if the enemy can bring up a thought like, I don't know, I've heard teachers, and I'm listening to teachers, and they're sharing the Word, and they present, maybe they've stumbled or had difficulty in their life, and they're sharing about, the details in that, and how they had a revelation of how they were not walking in truth, and they got this revelation, and now they're free. Well, the enemy can speak to me and say, well, look, you're doing this, you're doing that too, and trying to get me to fear that I'm going to fall into the same difficulty that they did because I'm guilty of the same thing, instead of me just capturing the thought and saying, wow, Father, if I choose to not walk in that any longer, if I choose to accept the status and live after the status of the righteousness that you have given me in Christ, then that oppression will be far from me. And I'm not going to accept this fear that's saying, wow, you've been doing the same thing. Now that's going to happen to you. I can say no. No, I can accept what they're saying is, yeah, that's an access for the enemy to get into my life. But just because I'm guilty of the same thing that they were doing, I can turn away from it. I don't have to continue in it. I don't have to be afraid, wow, this is going to happen to me now because I was doing the same thing. How many of you have fallen into that trap? Me. And I know many of you out there have been too. So I want to encourage you that don't accept the thought of oppression that includes you in a judgment because of something, yes, you are guilty of. But remember that Jesus took that guilt and he was judged for that crime, that sin, that error, and he was raised again for our justification, because it wasn't his sin. He was raised again for our justification, yours and mine, okay? So we can be free from that oppression. We don't have to accept it just because we're guilty of the crime. We can choose to reject the thought of fear that that's going to happen to you now because you did this, you did that. No, we can say, no, Jesus took my place. He was judged for that. And we can begin to walk in righteousness instead of continuing on in that error, that sin, that whatever you want to call it, whatever term you want to use, a violation of God's word, whatever term you want to use, we can say, no, I'm repenting. I'm changing my mind now. I'm accepting the correction that God is bringing into my life through what I'm hearing being shared here. Because God does not condemn us with truth. It's the enemy who takes a word that someone's saying and twists it into a judgment against us and creates a fear through that judgment that we need to find a way out now. We're in trouble. We're going to fail, fall. But this says no. And let's agree with this. Listen, let's go on to this. This is good. I wanted to share this. In Hebrews, listen to this. This is awesome. In Hebrews chapter 12, listen to how this is worded. When our Father brings instruction or correction, like in the example that I was using about hearing a minister share, you know, their troubles, their woes, their sin, and how, you know, they got this consequence came into their life, the fruit of their sin, and they, you know, it almost destroyed their life, but they received the truth. They embraced the truth, began walking in righteousness, and were freed from that. And so listen to what it says here. This is so important, connecting these truths together. Listen to this. It says, now no instruction or correction for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. In other words, it can produce like, oh man, yes, Father, I am guilty. I've been doing that, and that is not your heart. But listen to what it says. It says, but if we will receive that instruction, nevertheless, when we accept that, it says, afterward, when we receive that, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. So again, I want to talk about, we talked about our status of being righteous, and then our status, us living in that status, is how we manifest righteousness in our life to this day, you know, in our daily life. And what this saying is, when we choose to accept the correction that our Father brings us, it's not for the point purpose of condemnation, but if we'll accept the correction that he's bringing to us, and allow it to work its work in us. In other words, the truth will set us free from that when we exercise our heart in that truth. Then what's it going to produce? Joy, joy, and it's going to produce a fruit of righteousness. In other words, before when we were walking in error, we were walking in unrighteousness. And the righteousness that we have of Christ could not be manifested in our life. Why? Because we were choosing something to cooperate with something else other than that. That's why there was oppression in our life. That's why there was the fruit of oppression, sickness, disease, mental anguish, mental oppression, you know, however the oppression is manifesting in our life. So isn't that awesome that when we choose to accept correction from our Father or accept instruction or choose truth whenever thoughts are coming into our mind, then that's going to produce the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So peace and righteousness go together, just like we saw in Isaiah 26, verse 2 and 3. And what's interesting also, let's think about this, is it says that the kingdom of God is not the flesh. It's not eating and drinking. But what is it? It's joy, it's peace, and it's righteousness where? In the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's an important thing to keep in mind. It's like we can use that as a measure or a gauge in our life. Am I experiencing peace? Am I experiencing joy? Am I seeing righteousness in my life being manifested outward? Is it? Or if it's not, then that means there's some oppression in my life. There's some access that the enemy has taken through a thought that's creating oppression in my life. And when I see that there's not this joy, this peace, this peaceable fruit of righteousness manifesting in my life, then I need to take inventory. I need to say, not look at myself in the sense of judgment or condemnation, but rather look to the truth of God's word and say, Father, what is the truth that you have for me that will release me from this oppression and allow your righteousness that you've placed in me in Christ to be manifested in my life? Amen. So let's go back to Isaiah 54 look at this. It says, remember, these things are coming against all of us. They're gathering together, as he says in verse 15. But he says, the Father, our Father, is not bringing them into our life. He is not using them to correct us or instruct us. He never uses evil at all to do that. But they're going to come because Jesus said, in this world, we're going to have tribulation because the devil is present in this world. He's given us power and authority over all the power of the enemy, but he's left that up to our choosing, our will to choose, okay? And the more we believe the word, the more we choose to believe truth, the less and less oppression and those thoughts will have place in our mind and heart. Are y'all tracking with me? Amen. Notice verse 17. It's a verse we use a lot you might say, exercising our authority. But I want to just point out some very good truths in here that have been helpful for me. It says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Now, why are we able to condemn that voice? It goes on to say, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord, or saith our Father. Amen. That's exactly what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that he who knew no sin hath God made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So again, God is connecting our righteous status with him to a defense that we have against every oppressor, against every thought. Notice, it says, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. That means every thought. See, words that are spoken with a tongue are a communication or a vehicle of a thought. Okay, those words that we're hearing with our ear are a vehicle of a thought. So the thought that's coming to us, it says, if it produces, it says, in every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment. You know what? This word judgment means, I'm going to read it. It's kind of interesting how it words it. It's a judgment, a censure, or a criticism. In technically speaking, it is the act of judging or deciding, a legal decision, order, decree, or sentence given by a judge or court of law. So let's put that into context here. Let's say, just for example, we do something wrong. We sin against God. We accept a lie from the enemy. We start operating in that lie. And the enemy is using that to condemn us. He's saying, look what you did. Look what you're doing. The law says this. You're guilty of all of this. Okay? Is he right? Well, legally speaking, he is. The Bible says to err or to miss the mark is sin. It tells us that sin brings forth death. Sin yields cooperation to the enemy. And so is he technically correct? He is. There is a law that he's using to condemn us with or to judge us with. But notice what it says. It says here, thou shalt condemn those judgments. But you might say, well, that's a legal decision. It's actually correct and true. But is it really? Do you know what the word condemn there means? It means to declare wrong in law. So in other words, do you know how we have different levels in our court system? We have, like, you know, the county level, the state level, there's a federal level, there's an appellate level. And what happens is a judge might hand down something based on his interpretation of the law. We might see, wait a minute, he's leaving out a greater law than to see his law in context. And so he's making a judgment from law that there's another law greater than that law that supersedes his judgment. And so we have an appellate level that says, no, the law that he was using against you has no bearing in this particular incident because this law takes precedent over that law. Do you know that's what God has done for us in Jesus Christ? He has created a precedent over any other judgment against us. How did he do that? Jesus paid every breach of the law. He was judged for every breach of law. He was judged legally according to the law. He was condemned for our sin. And justly so. It wasn't an unjust judgment. It was a just judgment. But here's another thing about the law that we operate under in this country, as well as many other countries. You can't be found, you can't be tried for a crime that you've already been delivered from. In other words, if you were tried in a court of law and found not guilty, you can never be tried for that crime again. You know, that's what's happened with us. That's why our status is unchangeable. Because our status is not our own status. We live in Christ and operate in his person or being. In other words, we are one with Christ through the Spirit. So in other words, the enemy he can't bring any judgment against us, no matter if we're guilty of the sin or not, because we've already been judged for that in Christ Jesus. And we have been in Christ Jesus. We were found guilty, but we've received 100% pardon through Christ paying that judgment for us, okay? So technically speaking, there is no grounds for any law against us. Why? Because we have been made righteous through the righteousness of God that we partake of in the person of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? That is just awesome. Notice this. I wanted to read this. Oh, well, I can't find it. It was very, very good, though. Anyway, let's go here. This goes right along with this. Let me just reread this to kind of get our thinking back here for a moment. It says, no weapon, that's the oppression, the fear, whatever the enemy is bringing against you, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. It doesn't say that those weapons aren't going to be formed against us. What it says is that when they are formed against us, and the tongue that's rising against us in judgment saying that, yep, those weapons have access to you because of this, because you're guilty, it says we can condemn those judgments. Why? And legally we can do so because we have a precedent that's greater than the judgment that the devil is speaking against us. Isn't that awesome? How many of you think that's awesome? I think that's awesome, and I know that you're blessed too by that. Notice what it says here. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Wow. See, that's part of who we are. We have rights and privileges because we're a child of God. And that's our heritage, to be able to stand up, like Jesus said in Luke 10:19, where he made the point. He said, behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, where nothing shall by any means hurt you or cause you an injustice. And that's exactly what this is saying. And that's the importance of the righteous status that we have with God. Let me read one more scripture and we'll wrap this up for today. Thank you for hanging in there with me today. I appreciate you doing that. This was just so good. I really didn't see a place where I could divide it up and still keep the continuity of the thinking that we have here. Listen to this. I'm in Psalms 103. I'm just going to start in verse 2. It says, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is talking about the benefits that we have because we are children of God. We have his heritage through Jesus Christ. It says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. What did we just read? The enemy is going to bring a judgment against us saying, look, you did this wrong. You're guilty. But what does God say? He says, you're forgiven of that in the person of Jesus Christ, who healeth all thy diseases. Why? Because we're far from oppression. Why? Because we don't have to be afraid of what the enemy's saying to us, because there's no place for it. It has no right to stick to us because we've been found not guilty through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It goes on to say, who redeems our life from destruction. Wow, what a benefit that is. Who crowneth us with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's something we wear daily, these tender mercies and his kindness. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good, that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. Listen to this. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Wow, that is awesome. Listen to this. He, our Father, executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. How did he do that? Through placing that judgment on Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? It says, who executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. So he gives us his righteousness and his judgment in the sense that, yes, our sins were judged. They're no longer part of us. They're past tense. They're they're as far, they've been put away from us as far as the east is from the west. And now there's only one thing left for us, freedom from oppression. That's why we don't have to fear, because we are established in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Wow, I'm going to stop there. I encourage all of you to just, you know, get out your word, the word of God, or pull up an app that has it on there and look up the word righteousness and righteous, and let the word of God minister to your heart what that means to you now that you are a child of God, that you are the very righteousness of God because of Christ Jesus and because you're in Christ Jesus. Wow. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for joining me today. And again, if you would like to stay in touch with us, please visit healingjourneystoday.com. There's all of our teachings are there. You can go there and watch them. And for each person of the Healing Journeys Today group, our friendship here, our relationship, whatever you want to call it. And so bless you in Jesus' name. I pray that you just would receive a revelation of the righteousness that you have in Christ Jesus. And I just pray that that will cause you to be far from oppression, because you will not be afraid anymore, because you know who you are in Christ Jesus. So God bless you. Have an awesome rest of your day today.
We hope you got some great nuggets of wisdom out of that teaching. Thank you for listening to the Healing Journeys Today podcast. And don't forget, you can find us live on Facebook and YouTube 7 days a week. If you would like to donate, please go to www.healingjourneystoday.com. Isaiah 53:5 says, "And by his stripes, we are healed." God bless you.